Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Israel, Past, Present, and Future. The teaching of the Kabbalah has been a spiritual poison for the people of Israel since its inception, and the problem was made worse as the leadership embraced the satanic lie and the blind led the blind. God told Isaiah to address the Kabbalah, and he harshly likened the city of Jerusalem to Sodom and Gomorrah. Most Christians don't know about the Kabbalistic system and have no idea what Isaiah was referring to when he refuted this hellish doctrine. Jeremiah and Ezekiel also blasted this evil belief system, as did John the Baptist and Jesus. The people of Israel were blinded because of this heresy and failed to see that Jesus was the Messiah promised by God. This message is entitled, The Kabbalah. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today, as we're going to do some hard work in studying the Word of God. Let me just pray a short prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, you will help me to present this message today, Father God, in such a way that people shall understand it and also be able to apply it in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On the news Saturday, one of the legislators in Hawaii, one of our representatives, was interviewed. And they were discussing possible threats from North Korea. And the legislators there have asked the United States government to open up underground tunnels, bunkers, so that the population there would have a place to go in case they're getting nuked. And the point that I want to make is this. This is what this legislator said. He said, in 1941, we were not prepared, and we got clobbered. He said, this time, there is no excuse. We know the threat, and this time, we want to prepare. Profound words. And today, as Christians, we need to prepare what's coming. I have some scriptures here that are bonus scriptures they do not have in your outline. And the first bonus scripture I want to use is from Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you should be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I would also forget your children. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are moving into the time of the Antichrist. And over the years, we had a lot of movies about the rapture, the Antichrist and so on, the mark of the beast. And we put that in the future, someday in the future. The problem we have is, the future is here now. I want to take you to the prophet of Amos, chapter 8, and verse number 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, they shall run to and fro unto seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. You might say, well, we got an abundance of Bibles in the United States, Canada, Western Europe, and other places. And we do. But the question is, what kind of Bibles do we have? Very few ministers really want to touch this subject. But on 1880, the world government decided that they needed to dilute the Bible. And two British clergymen, Scott and Westwort, were given the assignment to write a new Greek manuscript to be used for new translations. These were men that were deeply into the occult. They were not born again. They were Satanists. And they were professors at Cambridge University in England. High credentials. And they produced a text, which is known as a Nestle text. Once a text was produced, many things were omitted from the original Bible. Other things were changed. Other things were added. No one at that time thought, new translation, or who cares? But that bastard text, the Greek text, has been used to translate, among other things, the NIV, New International Version, a number, the New English Bible, the Message Bible, which is a total destruction. And so when people today, we have in our churches, they have a Bible, they do not know that this is not the real Word of God. It's missing. If in a business world, you have a corporation, work with another corporation, and you're going to have a business deal, the attorney draw up the contract. Both attorneys would look it over very carefully. Every word is noticed. And once they have that contract ready, it is signed, recorded, and you got a business deal. No company today would simply say, well, it's not that important. It's the intent. We understand this or that, so slap something together, and it will work. And really well, if you have any brains between the ears, that contracts are written so they can be broken. This is how the attorneys make money. And every word and every sentence is very important. Why should we be sloppy with the Word of God and destroy that? The next bonus scripture I want to take you to is from Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to read about the mark of the beast. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand with their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, that he that is understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, the microchip was created. And to begin with, it was fairly large, and then eventually over the years, they got it down. Now it's about the size of a grain of rice. It can contain a lot of information. It can contain your birth, your name, records from school, all kind of different businesses, and it can be added to and subtracted. And we had these things in our church. Back, we had seminars back in the 1990s. And he also showed us at that time a needle where you simply would put a little grate in there and insert it under the skin. And I remember in the 1990s, people said, well, you know, that's kind of far out. It will not go to happen and so on. If you've got pets today, you notice that every pet is chipped. They simply have free clinics. So you can chip your pet. And they say, look at the benefits. If your dog runs away, your cat, or whatever it is, somebody finds it, all they have to do, take it to a veterinarian. They will scan it, and here they will find you, your address and everything else. They can call you, and you can pick your dog up. So we get used to that. This last week, a company in the United States made a decision, and they asked all their employees to be chipped. And they simply said this, it's so convenient. You will not need any more badges to get into the work. You will not need any passwords when you open up your computers and stuff. Each one of you will get a chip. And they decided to put on the side of the hand, because it would be too close if they put it, you know, the right hand on top. And all the employers said, fine, no problem. And so now, there's going to be more companies doing the same thing. And they showed a little clip on it, so convenient. They walk into work. They just take the hand and scan it like this, and the door, they can open a door. They scan for their computer, and they open up for them. And they had clearance, and it was so neat. The mark of the beast. God in His Word has warned us for several thousand years what's going to come down. As Christians, we're not really educated, and we don't know what's coming down the pipeline. We just do our regular routine work. And we don't realize that there are changes coming in the wind. And that's what I want to address today. It's more of a teaching sermon. There's many other things that I addressed over the years. But today, I want to talk about the Kabbalah. And some of you says, well, what is the Kabbalah? Can you eat it with a spoon? The Kabbalah is a teaching. And the Jewish people have three writings, three sets of books. They have, of course, the Old Testament, which is the Word of God. They got the Kabbalah, which is a set of about 550 books. And then they have the Talmud, which is close to about 500 books in itself. Now, if you go to a Jewish synagogue on a Saturday, where they have their Sabbath, they very seldom read from the Old Testament. But the teaching is from the Kabbalah or the Talmud. Now, if you want to go home today and Google it, and you put in Kabbalistic synagogues, you would find that there would pop up a whole bunch of synagogues in America that are simply labeled as Kabbalistic. And then you have those that are using the Talmud. Now, we have a youth group called the Shabbat, or the Liberators, which is headquarters in New York. And they are the heavy-duty Kabbalists. And Jared Kushner, advisor to President Trump, is a member of the Shabbat. And he and his family are deeply into the Kabbalah. And I'm about to indicate to you why we have so much upheaval in the White House, as he is one of the instigators in getting rid of people they do not want. Before I get into the message, I want to show you this. I have a little book here called the Kabbalah. This is a condensed version, and if you've never heard of it before, it would simply put you up to speed, and you will learn about the Kabbalah and its teaching. So I'm going to take about 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes. And by the way, for those of you in the chapel, we have those outside here. You can purchase them today. They're very expensive, $7 a piece, plus tax. Now, what does a Kabbalah teach? What is a Kabbalah? Kabbalah means hidden, secret. And it came out of Egypt, and it came out with a people when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And what the teaching is the hell teaching that has plagued the Jewish people for more than 4,000 years, is that they say the following. When Moses walked up on a mountain to meet God, and the people were on the ground, and the 70 elders were at the bottom of the mountain, Moses met with a bad God. And the 70 elders met with a good God, Lucifer. And they have to live with a bad God. King Solomon, who became a heavy Kabbalist, developed it further and put it more in writing and so on. So they are teaching the following. When God, the good God, did the creation, he got confused. In his confusion, a portion of him fell into the bottomless pit where it took the form of a holy serpent. But the holy serpent couldn't get up out of the holy pit, out of the pit. Therefore, it's a duty of all Kabbalists to make sure that the serpent comes up out of the pit, because he's also the Messiah. He is the savior of the Jewish people. So the leadership, 1,000 years ago, had a meeting, and they said, now, there's two ways to get the holy serpent from the bottomless pit. By the way, you read the Bible, who comes out of the bottomless pit? Abaddon, later on Satan. So he simply said this, we can either make everybody good on earth, or we can make everybody bad on earth. It's called the high road and the low road. And they decided that it is easier to make people evil than to make them good. So the decision was made, the low road. Therefore, a Kabbalist is to sin. The more he sins, the more he serves God, the more he leads other people into sin, the faster the serpent can come up. Some of you might say, you know, are you making this up? My dear friend, let me tell you this. In Jerusalem, at the University of Jerusalem, Hebrew University, is a department called the Kabbalah Department. You can get a degree, you can get a doctor's degree in that. Gershom Scholem was the first professor of the Kabbalah. He's dead now. And he wrote 4 books. These are textbooks used in yeshivas. And a yeshiva is simply a Jewish school. that they have for the rabbis and for others what to learn. This is accepted in Judaism. It is known. It is mainstream. And they believe it. The only ones that are stupid are the Christians. Because we have not the foggiest idea what Jewish people are doing. And if you try to find out, they call you anti-Semitic. We can study Mormonism. We can study Jehovah's Witnesses. We can study about Buddha and Hindus and tell a doctrine. Everybody says that's fine. But if you talk about what are Jews teaching, what's in the Talmud, what's in the Kabbalah, oh, anti-Semitic. Get away from that. So, park your emotions today. Calm them down. I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate Jews. I love Jewish people. I want to see them saved. Amen. But you got to understand that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to Israel. Satan is sending his man to Israel, the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will rise out of Jerusalem. He will reign in Jerusalem. And the Kabbalah is the religion of the Antichrist system. Let me go back to my outline now. And I'm going to just go through here the first part here, which is basically introduction. And Isaiah, the most powerful of the prophets, and his name means Yahweh is salvation. He ministered from 740 to 700 B.C. He prophesied under the reign of four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. And Jewish chronicles state that Isaiah lived through part of the reign of Manasseh. But there is no written record of his ministry at this time. Manasseh ordered him to be sawed asunder. They laid him up on a board. And they took his sword, which used to sawed on trees. And they hacked him in half. You can imagine the pain that the prophet went through before he died. As they did that. You find a scripture in Hebrews 11:37 where he talks about that. Uzziah was a very good king, and Jotham was a good king. Ahaz was a grandson of Uzziah. He became a very bad king, and he reintroduced the Kabbalah. Hezekiah was a good king, and he reversed the evil deed of his father. Manasseh was the most evil king to ever rule Judah. He was deeply devoted to the Kabbalah. And it was during his reign that he murdered, had Isaiah murdered. And I'd like to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. That is 2 Chronicles and chapter 33 as we read about this man. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And the first six verses. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served him. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, where the Lord had said in Jerusalem, my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, if you know the Kabbalah 101, you will understand what I just read here. But this king went back to the entire thing of the Kabbalah. They had a children. They had a statue they called Moloch. That was made of metal, iron. He looked like a fat Buddha, but much larger. And the demon got his hands out like this, like a mantle in the front. They would build a fire inside the statue, and it was absolutely red hot. And they would have the people standing there. And then they would tell the mothers and the fathers, come and sacrifice your child. They had drummers on the side, big drums. And these parents would come, take that little baby, or two or three or four-year-old child that they're bound, and put them on that hot statue. And it'd be like a frying pan. And you could hear the children scream before they died. And they would drum, and they would get in the dancing and go wild as a demon swept over the place. That's how they worshipped in those days. Manasseh, that's what the other kings prior to him had done. That's what King Solomon had done. It also states that. Very few times in the Christian church is this brought out. And the reason is, it's not convenient. It's too gruesome. And it doesn't help the offering plates. Churches today, you want people to feel good. You want the choirs, the strobe lights, the smoke, and you know, a little sermonette, 12 minutes of that. And, of course, you have Starbucks in the place where they have church, donuts and so on. And people sit there and munch on that while they have worship service. You don't bring stuff up like this. People become uncomfortable. They want to be lifted up. They want to go home feeling good. And you know, churches remind me of the slaughterhouses in Chicago. Chicago is known for having huge number of slaughterhouses. And they got hundreds of thousands of animals there brought in every day. And they fatten them up for about 30 days on corn and water. And the cattle there are simply saying, hey, this is life, you know. Fresh corn every day, fresh cold water. And we don't have to work or do nothing. We just stand there and get fed. And they do not know that someday when they get fat enough, they're going to lead them into the slaughterhouse and put a little plug in the head and now they're a hamburger and steaks and so on. But you know what? All the cows in Chicago out to the slaughter are very happy. They're happy cows. And that's how I see Christians. Very happy, not knowing what's coming down in the pipeline. Family life for Isaiah. He married a prophetess. And he had two sons with her. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. I am always limited by time. I have so many things to share with you. And I also learned this in seminary, that a congregation is only as good as their seating ability. Too long, and it gets too uncomfortable, and then you lose them anyway. So we got to be fairly precise here. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 4, God speaks for us saying, as it is, a sinful nation, the people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children of corruptors, they've forsaken the Lord, they've provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. That could be a description of America today, of Canada, of Europe. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. For the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mortified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour your presence. It is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And he goes on in here, in this chapter, and describes the situation in Israel. Drop down now to verse number 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. If your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I couldn't believe the discussion we're having in the United States today. President Trump, based upon economics, simply said, we're not going to allow transgenders into our services anymore. And to those of you that might say, well, what is a transgender or gender? It is a person, a man, that basically is hit by a homosexual demon. And the demon tells him, you are a woman. But I don't look like a woman. I don't have the organs of a woman. And the demon said it was a mistake. That can be fixed with surgery. It tells a woman this. You're not a woman. You're a man. You might have breasts. You might be able to have children. But you know, that's a mistake. You're really a man. There are 15,000 transgenders in the services right now in the United States. Cost a lot of money. Surgery. Cosmetics. And things of this nature. And you think that these men and women that mutilate themselves, that are confused, are going to be good soldiers, getting along with others? That's insanity. It is about as insane as the country of Sweden is. And by the way, the country of Sweden is known as the Great Asylum, the biggest mental hospital in the world. The whole nation of Sweden had gone bunkers. Why is this? Remember now, in the Kabbalah, the teaching is, teach people to sin. If you never understood Hollywood, you might understand it today. Hollywood, all the movie houses, from Goldwyn and so on, the different Meyer Gold or whatever they call it, I can't remember them right now. Metro Goldwyn. All the movie houses were started by very rich Jewish people from New York. They were Kabbalists. If you take a look upon all the movie actors that we had, let's say from the 1930s and up, they got names that sound, you know, nice. But you know, they are all Jewish. You would find that about 80 to 90% of all actors in Hollywood and in our television production are Jewish. Why is that? Because they are steeped in the Kabbalah. And what are we learning from our movies and television program. Are we learning good stuff or bad stuff? Ask yourself. If you are old, you remember the older movies, so to say, we say they were good. There was no nakedness in it. They were not cursing in it. They didn't smoke. They were drinking and so on. But they called them wholesome entertainment. You don't find that today. Today, I mean, it just what we have today was pornography in the 1950s. And you wonder, is that a scheme that this is happening? And the answer is yes. The scheme is to bring everyone down as low as possible. Do you realize, and you're the Americans here, that we are exporting, Hollywood is the biggest exporter in the television industry of programs and shows through other countries. Where they said to put a text on in a language of that country. And you go around the world and they know all our so-called stars. And they all look like we do here, you know, smoke the same way, talk the same way, you know. Isn't that funny? And no one has asked, why is it so? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5 now. Isaiah chapter 5. And I'm going to read here from verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, they continue until night till wine inflame them. And the harp and the vial, the tablet and the pipe and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. That's how America lives. Western countries are living. I mean, liquor, entertainment, gambling. This is how we live. The majority of people live this. This is what they are thriving for. Of course, the lower class, you know, they don't drink the, what do you call it, the expensive stuff. They drink the beer, you know, the cheap stuff. But this is what they did in those days. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Do you know I have about 400 sermon videos on the internet between YouTube, Vimeo, and our website. About 400. We got a lot of material up there. And every week I get calls, or we get letters coming in from all over the place. The same story. I have demonic problems. I'm sick. I got this problem. I can't get out of this. Young woman from Georgia wrote in and said, you know, my parents gave me a male name. As a girl, when I was about 17, 18 years of age, I became a lesbian, a homosexual. And I drank. And I lived that lifestyle for about 4 or 5 years. And then I got saved. I got back to God. And she said, I need help. She said, the demons are in my body. Now I'm a Christian. And she got to churches. Of course, if you go to Pentecostal church, they will say this. Ah, a Christian cannot have a demon in them. Doesn't work. And I always ask those people, if that's so, where do you get sick? You get sick in your shoes? Get sick in your clothes? You get sick in the body? But if the body cannot have demons in it, where's the sickness coming from? Because all sickness is from devil. That's why they lose the argument. And they realize, you know, a Christian can have a demon, and they do have demons. He said, I want to commit suicide. I can feel the demons moving my body during the night. And I'm tormented. I've gone to therapy. I've gone to counselors. I need help. I said, well, we can't cast the demons out, but I can't go to Georgia. I said, you know, I can pray with the phone. There is such a need today. I mean, you go from state to state, all over the place. People are asking for, can you help out? Can you pray? And we say, yes, we can. But we are like a hospital. We have only a few doctors and a few nurses. And we simply have to do what they do in third world countries. Tell them, we can't help you. We are simply overloaded. Taken captive. Anorexia. Another demon. Overweight. Another demon. All the different diseases. And you know, in the churches, if you got too much problems, they say go and see your shrink or go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist that will help you. We can't help you here. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. The other men are famished and the multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure. And the glory and the multitude and the pomp and the air of joy shall descend into it. Have you ever read that before? God is enlarging hell to accommodate the masses of people that are perishing. Think about it. We've got 7 billion people on earth today. How many of these are saved? A fraction. The mean man should be brought down, and the mighty man should be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty should be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God is holy, shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lamb feed after the man, and the waste place of the fat one shall strangers eat. This is referring to the future. Thousand your kingdom. But now look in verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity, sin, with cords of vanity, and sin as it were a cart rope. They're saying this. Woe unto them that are bringing in sin, roping it in, and spewing it out. How many Christians understand that verse? Few. Show that to a pastor, and he will say, I can't understand that. If you know the Kabbalah, you would say, oh, that's what it means. That say, let him make speed and haste his work, that we may see it. Let the count of the Holy One of Israel to 9 come, that we may know it. In the Kabbalah, said, let's speed it up. Let's hurry up. We want the serpent up. That's the Kabbalah. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm sure you read that scripture. But you know, what does it mean? The Kabbalists are calling our Heavenly Father for bad. They're calling Lucifer good. They're calling sin good. And goodness evil. And Isaiah thundered against it. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Have you noticed this? Alcohol has been a curse on the human race since the time of Noah. Divorce, crime, you name it. It's always drinking. It's always violence. It's a culture of alcohol. And the Kabbalah thrives in it. The Kabbalah is like a virus. It just thrives in an alcohol culture, drug culture, sexual perversion. Let's move to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. You pick it up here in verse number 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, the rudest people which is in Jerusalem. Because we have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. In every city in America, you have a Freemasonic temple or building. Most people in higher powers, from judges, police chiefs, prosecutors, city council people, and so on. You go to any town USA, and try to find out who runs this town. And you will find that every city has a cabal of people that are running it. And most of them have one thing in common. The men are members of the Masonic lodges. The women are Eastern Stars. The boys are Jack Molay. And the girls are Job's daughters. And you find that they are Democrats and they are Republicans. Republicans and Democrats get along fine in the Masonic temple, because they have a higher calling. And if you look upon the writings, if you look upon Albert Pike's write-up, More Than Dogma, which is a Bible of the Freemasons, he will state in there that Kabbalah is the foundation of all religion, and is our religion. 666 is our holy name, and the Freemasons are always working on to re-establish the Temple of Solomon. If you're a Christian, you don't know about this. And this is why Freemasons and Kabbalistic Jews are getting along so well, because they worship the same God, Lucifer. And then in the next verse, number 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Every Freemason has to take an oath of death. Skull and Bones, that's been ruling this nation for more than 100 years, you take an oath of death. Isaiah exposed it. And let's turn that to chapter 29 of Isaiah and look upon verse number 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? And who knows us? Let's turn quickly here to 1 Kings chapter 10. This is about King Solomon. And I'm going to read from verse number 14. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Solomon at the end was a renegade. He was a Satanist, a Kabbalist. He was worshipped. And he said this, I want to have gold, 666 talents. Not more, not less, because that number is a holy number in the Kabbalistic teaching. It's a holy number among Freemasons. And the Jews knows that. And let me flip very quickly now to Revelation. We read it a little while ago. And chapter 13. And we pick it up here in verse number 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that's understanding count the number of the beast, of the Antichrist. He has a number. For it's the number of a man. In the Kabbalah, you have a numeric name, a number. For it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. King Solomon developed the Kabbalah further. His name was 666. And in the revelation when Jesus spoke that, he said, now, it is a Kabbalistic system. It is a number of King Solomon. Of course, he's dead and in hell. But his descendants still have it. And that's a system known as 666. If we turn on to chapter 10, and I'm sure that you read this and you didn't pay attention to it. In verse 18, more, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid with the best gold. The throne had six steps. The top of the throne was round behind. There were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, on the other side, upon the six steps. There was none the like made in any kingdom. Now, if you go to Jewish literature, they have a picture of this throne. Sabbatai Sevi, they proclaimed himself as the Messiah in 1666. He had the throne depicted. That's how he went to the throne. The throne had six steps leading up to the top where Solomon sat. It had six lines on this side, six lines on that side. So when somebody stood before King Solomon on the throne, 666. If you think I'm making this up, just do an in-depth study. Start in this here that would tell you where to go and where to find more of it. Let's move on. 1 Kings 11 now, chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn you away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love or lust. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart, his soul. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart. And after other gods, his heart was perfect with the Lord, his God, as with the heart of David the father. For Solomon after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians. After Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh. That's the statue I told you about. It was red hot. The abomination of Moab. In the hill that is before Jerusalem. And for Moloch, another statue. The abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice of the gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned for the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. Let's turn quickly to Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to their iniquity of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after God, other gods to serve them. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. A conspiracy in Jerusalem. Quickly to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. And we find there the following verses. Ezekiel 22, verse number 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion, raven in the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken a treasure of precious things. They have made them many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. Her priests have violated my law. That's the Kabbalah. That's what they do. That's when you find rabbis today violating the laws. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither they show difference between the unclean and the clean. Had hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned amongst them. And then I want to move to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I know you're drinking from a fire hose this morning, but hopefully you can take the outline and study it out yourself later. Matthew 3, 7. You read this, you never understood it. But when he, this is John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee for the wrath to come. They worship the serpent, their Messiah. He called them vipers, serpents, generation of serpents. Why are you coming? He confronted them. Then turn to Matthew 12:34. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. And if you read the following, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you understand the Kabbalah now, you understand the scriptures. John the Baptist raised and said, you generation, you Kabbalah, why are you coming here? Jesus said, generation of vipers, why are you coming here? And now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse number 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 9. Jesus said, I know your works, and tribulation and poverty, that you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You got them say synagogue of Satan today, and they say you are anti-Semitic. Well, Jesus was a Jewish. He had a Jewish body. He would be anti-Semitic. Why is it the synagogue of Satan? Because they worship Lucifer. You have it in the Kabbalah. You got it in the Talmud. Chapter 3, verse number 9. Jesus said a second time to another city, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. If you have a little strength and to keep my word and not deny my name, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He would open some eyes. A Jew, that's a Kabbalist, his father is Satan. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said to the people there, you are your father the devil? And they said to him, we are not of the devil. You understand now why we had this conflict in the Old Testament and in the New Testament between the Kabbalah and the Word of God. That conflict continues. It's culminating in Jerusalem. But the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. I want us to turn right. I'm going to skip Isaiah 6:8. And I'm going to turn instead to Matthew 13:13. as we wrap this up. That's Matthew 13:13. And I want to pick it up here in verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to them, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundant, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall be hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Here's what is happening. God said to Israel 2,700 years ago, "Okay, you want to worship Lucifer? You want to have the Kabbalah? You want to follow the holy serpent?" Actually, it's an unholy serpent. "Fine. I will blind you. I will blind you that you will believe a lie." Here's a bonus scripture coming up. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll pick it up here from verse number 9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." I will read this verse slow. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteous them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Listen, folks. If you get into false doctrine, and you begin to fall for that, there is a punishment. God said this, "Fine, you reject truth, I give you over to a lie. I will blind you. You will swear that you have the truth." When was the last time you talked to Jehovah's Witness? And you showed them scriptures. You showed them truth. And they would say, No, I can't believe it." When was the last time you talked to a Mormon? And you tried to tell him about the fullness of Joseph Smith and his lies. And he would say, No, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. Joseph Smith is a prophet of God." Talk to a radical Muslim. And he will say, "Oh, I believe in Allah. I believe in the Prophet Muhammad. I will die for the Prophet." My friends, it is a dangerous thing to reject truth. I will say something now that probably will shock a number of people. Like even walk some of you sit, but I don't want him to do with that guy anymore. The state of Israel founded in 1948, was not founded by God, but by Lucifer. Anyone who's a Christian Zionist is actually working for the Antichrist. Because the Bible says clearly, during the thousand-year kingdom, God would supernaturally bring the Jewish people, the people from the 12 tribes back to Israel. Every prophecy talks about that. But this is the man. These are Kabbalists that simply made that happen through deception and a sword. And for this cause God should send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that ye all might be damned to believe not the truth, but a pressure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks over to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the bottom line now. I have shared with you biblical truth with King James Bible. I told you about the Kabbalah. Here we have historical records. When I quoted the Kabbalah, I'm not quoting Gentiles. I'm gone to Jewish sources. Jewish sources. Their own sources is in here. Cannot be refuted. You got the Hebrew University. You got the Kabbalah. Department of Kabbalah. It's all there. You heard the truth today. It's coming down the pipeline. People are already now being chipped. It's not the they're not mark of the beast yet, but it's the same principle. Because when the mark of the beast comes, you also have to give a loyalty, allegiance, before they chip you. They're not going to force you. They're going to cost you if you want to live and eat and work. What do I want you to take home today? And praise God you got that outline. You can study this when you come home. But I want you to know this. We are much further down the road toward the Antichrist than what you think. The technology is here. Everything is set. And the only thing waiting for is for the man of sin to begin to rise and to take power over the nations. How will that be done? Out of chaos. That's down the road. What should we do today? First of all, educate yourself. Don't believe this because I told you so this morning. I showed you scriptures. You cannot refute that. But educate yourself. Get the material. Study it. And once you're going to stand it, now start giving the truth to people so that they will not take the mark of the beast and go to the lake of fire and burn forever and ever. What about you watching us today and you say, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian yet. I think I want to be a Christian. It's interesting what you told today. If you're watching, I would say to you today, receive Christ now. Don't wait. Acknowledge right now that you're a sinner. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and he paid for your sins. Speak that out. You'll be saved. In a few moments, when we finish here, Charles Turrell is going to come. Charles Turrell, in a chapel, you're not going to see Charles Turrell. You're not going to hear him here. But on the webcast, you're going to hear Charles Turrell. He's going to take about 7 minutes, share with you the gospel, read it from scripture with you, and lead you in a salvation prayer that will guarantee you eternal life in heaven forever. Take that opportunity. And if you do take that opportunity, write us and call us so we can pray with you and minister to you. To those of you watching that are Christians, some of you, this is old stuff for you, but this is new stuff for you today. You haven't got the Kabbalah books. Go online, order them. Study them. Go and do your own research. Google everything, Yahoo, whatever you do. Establish the truth. And then start living a holy life and teach others to understand what's coming down the pipeline. I love you. May God bless you. And I hope that you will be a truth teller. In Jesus' name. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the time here to spend this Sunday morning. And we thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and the fact that it's being opened up to us and to many out there that are listening, Lord. And I thank you that there's still light in the world that people can hear and receive and apply the gospel in their life, Lord. And I thank you for the truth that was spoken today to go forward and to into the churches in the United States and around the world, that people will have their eyes opened and see there. A lot of churches have been in the dark, and deception has been brought down on the people. And I thank you for the people to have their eyes opened to see the truth of the gospel and to see the teaching that the Bible is teaching and the warning signs, Lord. And we lift up the loss to you. As I was out and about yesterday, it's just craziness out there. People need to be saved. And the famine for the word is already seen across the land. And we just lift up the lost, that some might be saved. We thank you for our many blessings, Lord. Help each one of us that are born again to maintain and keep true to the word. And we thank you for keeping all deception at bay from us, Lord. We know that deception is strong, and that Satan wants to hinder and to destroy. So we thank you for keeping us walking in the light, Lord. And I also want to lift up the political prisoners that are in prisons all over the world, Lord. Many of them Christians. And we thank you, Father God, for setting the captives free, Lord. We have many political prisoners in the United States. The courts in the United States are corrupted. The city councils are corrupted. The county supervisors offices are corrupted. The Congress is corrupted. It's corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. And we thank you, Father God, for people, Christians, to go in and root out the corruption. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere, and any time. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, Israel, Past, Present, and Future, and was entitled The Kabbalah. The teaching of the Kabbalah has been a spiritual poison for the people of Israel since its inception. God told Isaiah to address this satanic lie, and in doing so, He likened the city of Jerusalem to Sodom and Gomorrah. Most Christians don't know about the Kabbalistic system and have no idea what Isaiah was referring to when he refuted this hellish belief system. Jeremiah and Ezekiel also blasted this evil doctrine, as did John the Baptist and Jesus. It must have been bittersweet for Isaiah to serve the Lord while seeing the Israelites stubbornly embrace heresy and be given over to judgment. Jesus quoted Isaiah when he stated, "By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." The people of Israel were blind back then and still are today. The prophecy of Isaiah continues to be fulfilled as the blind lead the blind and hell is enlarged. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1610. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.